All right, guys, we're back, and this is Four Guys,
One Film.
And today, my film of choice was a classic one that nobody really talks about, To Live and Die in L.A., directed by William Friedkin. And for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, this is just what we do. We watch movies every week, pretty much, and the four of us get to choose one movie a week, and that's either new to us or old to us, but we just get together and talk about and discuss. And so, with this one, I don't know if you guys know who William Friedkin is, but he did direct a little movie called The Exorcist, which I did not think was that scary at all.
Oh, that's the movie that ripped off the music from Masters of Disguise.
Yes. Yes, that's right. That's right. It ripped off Masters of Disguise. Nobody talks about it, but bro, they should. And he also did another little movie called Sorcerer, which bombed, unfortunately.
Had
because
no fucking sorcery.
No sorcery, but it bombed because it came out the same time as Star Wars did.
Not enough wizards. Not enough wizards, yeah, for sure.
But what makes To Live and Die in L.A. a unique one for me is just the 80s aesthetic of it. You know, in terms of like the ambiance, the music, the acting, the violence. It's just peak 80s for me.
The machismo.
The machismo. Yeah, the tight Levi's jeans, the denim.
The use of women.
The misogyny.
The misogyny.
Jesus Christ. So much of it in this.
So much abuse.
But yeah, I just want to know, like, what are your guys' first impressions on the film?
I don't know, man. I think if watching this movie, like, the second time around, it was less memorable.
Yeah. How do you even see these movies? Because this is not one that anybody really knows.
Dude, you know what? I always hear about this, but like I've heard the name, and yeah, I'm like, I've never actually.
But every
seen
time I think
anything.
To Live and Die in L.A., I think Tupac.
Yeah, that's probably what is coming to my mind. But I'm like now watching it, I'm like, oh, I get it. This is good.
No, man, dude, HBO has some crazy like if you watch late night HBO or like Cinemax or shit like that, like
they'll show the good stuff.
They show some weird shit because
like the amount of times I try to watch Skinemax, exactly, and some bullshit was on.
And then like, yo,
you're like, damn, they're not getting to it. But maybe if I watch 90 more minutes, they'll finally get to it.
I don't know, man. This movie's like I think it's a good movie to watch if you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
you know, it's definitely something different, especially if you're just used to like all these big cinematic, big production movies, and you just want something that's decent to watch. Like, mm-hmm, and it's aesthetically pleasing. Like you said, it has a lot of aesthetically pleasing parts to it. The soundtrack is great. You know, the acting is probably like,
The acting was mid.
The acting was mid. So you're not
a little mid.
There's elements though. I mean, we talked about certain characters. I mean, before I'll let you keep going. Yeah. But you know, certain characters I think killed it.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that, I mean, it's the '80s. They do everything like on set, in camera. You know, it's very good. There's no CGI. It's like there's real cars chase scenes. There's explosions. Yeah. There's
like
fire,
it didn't feel dated. To be honest.
Yeah. No,
like honestly, if it wasn't for like the bad, like the grainy picture of the 80s that
like
looked,
the film,
like
yeah,
the film, like it would have looked great. Like if you,
what I fucking loved was all the like the gunshots and like people getting their heads blown out. All of it was practical, and it was, I was just like, oh shit, I did not expect that whatsoever, but it was great.
That's what I appreciate about it, is because I mean, it's like a typical like, you know, cops and robbers movie, but they kind of like change a bunch of stuff, and a lot of the things that I saw for the first time were so unexpected. And you know, like I mean, Willem Dafoe is just like so fucking good.
Yeah,
I mean, well, to Isaac, he's a creep.
You tell me he's not creepy.
He was creeping this entire movie. Let's be honest.
He was kind of hot though,
and he dies in like serious ways.
You're beautiful.
All
right,
you're beautiful.
Dude, he dies weird in this movie. Lighthouse, Spider-Man, you fucking name it, he's dying weird.
The Northman.
I think it's in his contract. He says,
like,
hey,
got,
if I don't
I gotta
die
if
in
I
a fucking
die,
blaze
it's
of glory,
be weird.
Like,
yeah, it's gotta be fucking
weird. Yeah. One of the crazy things about it is how, I mean, this is gonna be a pretty major spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen it, but how the main character just gets killed.
Yeah, it gave major like vibes of No Country for Old Men too. Just like, super nonchalant, passed over. Like, yeah, they reference him obviously and shit, but like, It's a major plot point that just continues on within their character.
All right, I want to get back to this, but the fucking ending, oh my God. We'll get to it. But also, like, I mean, I also like that it's ambiguous almost who's the good and who's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're kind of rooting for the cops in the beginning,
wait,
but then
what,
you're also
wait,
like,
what? How is this ambiguous?
Because the cop guys were being shady as well. They were
but they were trying to do the right thing. It's, I don't think it's
when you're stealing money from drug dealers and then
to catch the guy
killing
that's
them,
like, doing bad shit. He lived, like,
yeah, well, I mean, I think does that objectively make them the good guys?
I think what it is that, like, everybody's bad.
Yeah.
And the cops, like, you don't know if they're just as bad or not.
Well, let me rephrase that. Well, I mean, I'm like, I don't know who to root for.
Well, I mean, this is a classic case of does the ends justify the means, right? Yeah. That's literally all this is like, how far are you able to go until you can, I mean, they literally were told, like, yeah, you guys are going to do time for what you did. And it's funny because, like, the FBI isn't even admitting to the fact that they shot their own fucking guy. It's like, all right, well, I guess their ends justify the
means.
Detective
Fong died at the grave.
Yeah, he was murdered. It's like, what?
Weird. Anyone that has any information here, submit it anonymously.
Yeah. It's like they were.
But
they were
it was the 80s. It's not like they wear body cams like the dude.
Oh, yeah, no body cams. The DNA was old.
You got away with a lot of shady shit back then, I'm sure, just because, like, I mean, nobody's there to witness it.
Yeah.
Kind of goes under the rug fairly easily.
Are there any scenes in particular for you guys that kind of like stood out?
Probably the car chase.
I want to get into the car chase.
Yeah, let's talk about that car chase.
The car chase was the best scene because, one, it was practical. They closed down a whole fucking freeway. It was, there was like no special effects. Mm-hmm.
Real like crazy music too, kind of over. Like, you know, one of the things that I noticed on the car chase that I don't really think on like any modern car chases is like you can actively hear the accelerator and like the brake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. like it's consistently like throttle off, throttle off, like you can hear the RPMs.
They took the time to show that movement.
And it was so long too. It was such a long sequence, but and it kept going and going. You're like, wait, there's more. They're jumping a fucking train.
I felt like that second officer who's like, oh, thank God we made it. Oh, fuck, they're back,
dude. That's when I was like, wait, are they undercover too? Because I was like, coming out of?
That was such a slow but great way to build the reveal.
But and the good thing about the car chase, it didn't feel like overly produced. Like it, like you know how like, oh, this guy's fucking magically drifting. He can he's pulling 18 gears and shit.
No, it felt crashing. Yeah. It shows them hitting other cars. It shows them like doing stupid shit. It shows them having to brake and tell guys like, get the fuck out of the way.
I bet they crashed a ton of times. Like, there's no way they did this super smoothly.
There was a fucking,
it was probably all professional drivers.
There was literally a semi truck that I saw go over a car and like crash into it. And I was like, is there someone in there? Is there a stunt driver in there? Like, what the hell are they?
Dude, and with their budget that they had, like, they did a lot. They really extended that money. Like, they had a Ferrari. It was
honestly, they had $6 million, right?
I don't think back in 85. Get away with something that looks like this. It looks so real in today's modern era, because it's like the insurance people would not like be like, they would never approve this. People would be like, oh, they're too concerned about people's safety. They're not going to close out a major highway, freeway in LA. Like, this is never happening again. It's crazy.
Well,
it's
that's
so good.
That's what I like about the director, William Friedkin, who unfortunately passed away, I think, last year in 2023. But he would just do shit. Like he wouldn't really go for permits. He just like, let's just fucking film
it.
The
80s, man.
If we get caught, get caught.
But
whatever.
I think that a lot of incidents that have happened in cinema have caused it to be like, you can no longer do those.
Yeah, it's like because of that fucking asshole.
Look at the Alex Baldwin situation. That guy's going to fucking jail.
And that
wasn't
even that crazy. Yeah. Like compared to like, but compared to like what they're doing now, they did all the safety measures.
But that's happened before
with
the Crow. You know, Brandon Lee got killed the same way.
Yeah, but that was the '90s.
But it does go to show like, back then, they didn't give a shit about safety or laws or whatever. Yeah. They were just like, I'm doing this because I got
to
film it.
And you know, that goes to show that stuntmen and stunt women don't get enough like credit for what they do. Because I'm sure like we're like, damn, this scene was crazy. That's good. And then if we watch like, oh, like 10 people broke an arm, you know, 5 people broke their neck.
One guy's a paraplegic
now. You'd be like,
I literally,
it was worth it.
Unless you look into it, I feel like you don't find those instances where you're like, wait, what? The stunt double for this person is like now crippled for life.
That happened in Harry Potter.
Which is unfortunate.
One of the stunt doubles for, what's his name? Harry Potter?
Daniel
Radcliffe.
So,
any
stunt coordinators, people that are out there, if you're listening, we appreciate
you. We appreciate
you. We can't get movies like this or anything without you guys.
And we shouldn't if it means that.
No.
Because there was that scene where the car, like, literally, is racing the fucking train.
Yeah.
And they just bust over, and like you see the people just smash within the car like that. That's painful. That's super difficult.
All of that is pain that builds up over time.
And one of the previous podcasts, I think in the Predator, you were talking about how Fast and Furious, like the way they film and they've progressed, it's just like, it sucks because they can't be what they used to be, and they can't be something like this, which is like a real car chase.
Yeah, you can't really do the car chase. Also, the way that the editing style is for like a lot of those films, they've film like a huge action sequence, but it's like cut up into so many small little bits. It doesn't even look realistic. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even look like, I'm like, I feel like it takes me out of the action. Like, I'm like, where this, it's a whole prolonged scene. It's literally showing, and you're like, holy, like they're actually doing this out there. And it's crazy. And it kind of grounds you, and it works really well.
And it feels surreal. And I was telling Nick too, like, I was like, dude, I think I was holding my breath like throughout the entire thing, because it was so
tense. It gave
me
anxiety, bro, for sure.
Yeah, no.
But it reminds me of another movie called Bullet with Steve McQueen, and they have like another really excellent car chase.
Yeah, he drove that thing too. He didn't give a fuck. He was.
Yeah. He was a he was a driver, wasn't he?
I think it was a Formula One. Something like that.
And you know, William Friedkin again, he just really knows how to add tension in his films. Because if you remember in Sorcerer, when they were trying to go through that bridge.
Oh yeah, I remember how quiet we were the entire time watching that.
Like, it's insane. But I think that's one of the best car chase scenes in film history.
And I'm glad we got into, you know, some of the cool stuff already right away, but I would like to take a little bit of a step back to give a brief synopsis at least and kind of explain what the movie's about, if you can.
It's kind of complicated, wasn't it? Because it was, I mean, it's a cop whose partner gets killed by this dude who does counterfeit money, played by Willem Dafoe.
You mean Frank Masters?
Yeah. And Frank Masters, I think it wasn't Frank Masters.
Is it Frank Masters?
Eric Masters.
Rick.
Rick Masters.
Rick, there you go.
And he has this personal vendetta against them, and you know, they've been trying to get after his ass for years, but they just can't.
And the thing is, I don't think he was even that clever or like slimy.
No,
I
want to talk about how fucking stupid everybody is in this movie. Absolutely fucking stupid. Like, I would make so much fucking money if I was against any of these people.
Well, that's the thing, is that the characters in this movie, I wouldn't say that they're likable.
Can we just talk about how this wasn't really written all that great? Like, it was shot really great. They had a lot of good scenes, but like, there's too many plot holes.
Like, the dialogue was kind of like really camp. It was really cheesy.
They really went for the, like, again, they really went for like the Arnold fucking.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it too. I mentioned it to you, Alexis. You know, we always end up sitting close to each other. So it always feels weird when I keep saying like, oh, you mentioned it to me. It's really weird to me that a lot of these things, like when you look at it now, watching this movie in today's day and age, you're like, fuck, it's so cheesy. But it's like, what if in 85 this was like, whoa, that's so badass.
So it's
like,
so profound.
So it's like, we're over here judging it because we're like, we've seen 10 other films that
No, exactly. It's cheesy now because we've seen it a million times.
But what if that was number one or two or three?
It's also like dated compared to like how people talk now. But I remember you mentioned specifically one of the scenes where he's like, he looks back at his new partner and he's like, what are we talking about here, amigo? And then you were like, oh my God, that's so cringy. And I agree. Like, it kind of is, but it's like, you think about it.
But you know, you think
it's
about
the time.
Other old movies like Roadhouse, for example. Like, I could watch that shit all the time.
With Swayze,
like, it's not like they don't go for it,
man.
You know what I'm saying? They don't focus on like the corniness, and maybe, you know, it's luck what gets corny and cheesy over 8 years. But
I think movies like Roadhouse, they don't focus on this super cheesy 80s stuff. Like, this movie really did a lot of, like, they try to go for the one liners, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
But again, like, what was it trying, or is it just what the vibe was,
no,
you know?
I think he was trying, man. I think honestly, I think it was badly written.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Action heroes at the time, I feel like we're not focusing on their dialogue. Like, we're not really caring too much what
like
actually
Arnold,
happened.
Like, literally Arnold and Predator. Said
yeah,
like
that's exactly. Yeah. We literally just had this conversation last time. It's like,
but I at least feel that Willem Dafoe was like the highlight of the film.
No, he was.
He
was really
to
good.
Me. He wasn't like intimidating, but he was kind of slick.
You know,
like,
Willem Dafoe gave
he
mad.
He was slimy.
He was slimy.
He gave mad femme energy to me in like a really good way. Like Loki. Like, he reminded me of Loki.
No, he didn't, man.
No, dude, straight up. Like, I think, like, the way that he was with his, like, well, the fact that we at first thought he was kissing a dude, we're like, oh,
like,
okay.
Oh, shit.
We were like, wow, very progressive for 85. And it's like, oh,
it's because she was lesbian, it turns out, the whole time.
Right. Well, I think
was
so.
She?
I think she's
what,
bi.
Was?
I think she was,
you know,
bi.
No, she thought that he was giving the femme energy, too. So he obviously.
This is George talking about other women's sexualities.
No, but I can see what you're saying when you're bringing up that point.
I mean, he was very much like, and you know what, like, also he was pretty badass for how he stood up to anybody. Like, it almost seemed like he was so comfortable knowing that, like, he's like, I might get hit or whatever. But
he definitely carried himself well.
Yeah,
like he didn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
like, and he wasn't aggressive. He wasn't like fucking stupid with his like he was like very to the point. Like, just give me what I want, and that's it.
Yeah, and he wasn't like he was the opposite of the cop. The main character, because he was a hothead. The entire time he's just like
doing things. When your partner dies on the line of fire.
It wasn't just his partner, okay?
He was my best friend for 7 years, man.
For seven years.
You didn't lose your partner, I did.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. That whole scene. Oh my god. But no, it's so funny because it's like the total opposite. He's over there fucking breaking briefcases.
In the beginning of the movie, he's like kicking every fucking door. Literally, like, he really doesn't need to. He doesn't even know how to open a door.
I love showing that he doesn't open doors with kicking.
The funniest scene was he was trying to storm out of the like district attorney's office.
Oh yeah.
He's like, get back in here, and he just.
I want to talk about that one eventually. Yeah.
No, and then William Dafoe's character is over there just all. Cool, Willem. Calm, and collective. Whatever.
Fucking slinging cock.
There's that scene where he's like, we got to burn all the money because it's no good anymore.
It's no good.
It's tainted.
And he's just, naked.
And then Nick's like, what? He's burning it. Why is he burning it? But it's like, it's a valid point. He's being very like.
Well, he just loves burning things.
I think he's an arsonist too.
He's an arsonist.
For sure, he is.
I think he was like, you know what? I need to get rid of this money. I'm gonna do my favorite pastime: burning shit.
Exactly. Burning shit in the nude.
While completely naked. Yeah. Those are his two favorite pastimes: being naked and burning.
Also, for being so calm and collected, you think he'd be a lot smarter about the way he
went about
it. Well,
they're both stupid. Like, number one is keeping the fucking body of the partner or whatever there. Like, why would you dump it there?
They left it there for days.
Yeah, like, you had 2 fucking days to just find another spot in Lancaster to just dig a hole, and it never would have been found. One, like, what the fuck? And like, even just the premise, like, I mean, I'll get into a little stupidities now. The premise of the partner who died, I forget what his name was,
irrelevant, because they never say.
Yeah, well, he's only part of like the first fucking 10 minutes of the movie. Why, like, I understand, and we talked about why, like, they didn't involve anybody else, why Chance didn't involve anybody else in his scheme to get the 50K, right? It was like, well, you clearly did something illegal, and now on top of that, you got the FBI agent killed because of it. And so you can't, like, at this point, you've gone too far. Now you got to commit, it's just you two against the world. But the other agent had no fucking reason to drive so far away, like Lancaster, by himself to a place where he suspects a wanted criminal to be doing illegal activity.
Days before his retirement.
Yeah, like, how do you get that far?
It's always right before the retirement.
2 days.
I needed to capture Eric Masters.
Right before I'm gone, man. Right,
like, yeah, do one more.
That's just like, that's just bad writing. Like, that is just like, oh, I need a motivation, and it's quick. And I'm not saying, like, I will say, like, we watched other movies from this director, and he's great.
But, yeah,
but
no, because I think it was filmed fantastic.
Fantastic,
like, it was incredibly filmed.
It had beautiful angles, beautiful setting. The like everything was like, I think
those POV shots, man, that put you like right in there. It was
like,
incredible.
Like that cock shot when he was.
Damn, bro.
We'll get back to that. Who mentioned No Country for Old Men?
I did.
He brought it.
It's interesting because I feel like, yeah, like this guy, that the partner that died, it's like the opposite. Or these guys that are fucking dying, these cops, it's like the opposite of Tommy Lee Jones' character, where they wanted to get that glory.
Well, Tommy Lee was also like right at the retirement, right?
He was right at the retirement.
He's like, I'm gonna retire.
But,
I'm gonna
but
let
that,
it
Tommy Lee's character
out.
Was a perfect example of what that cop should have been when he was like, I'm trying to get to that, and like that was what apparently his partner originally said. He's like, I don't. He's like, I want to retire. So if you want to retire, to do the dumbest fucking thing you could do, you know, is just.
At
just
least,
doesn't make any sense.
At least calling your partner. Just calling your partner and go together.
Yeah.
It's like, solo?
Hey,
really?
Back me up.
You're right
and
off
if,
the trail?
All the way in Lancaster?
You know how it works. Like, if you're trying to be like, I'm solo because I'm staking out. Cool, that's all you do. And then it's the fucking trope is, I got to go in.
Yeah,
I won't have another chance
no,
like this.
I think if they would have explained that a little bit better, where it's like, hey, it's a time-sensitive thing, so I can't call for backup. Mm-hmm. It's now or never, then maybe. But they didn't show that. I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this is a very fast-paced movie.
And I also didn't like the fact at the beginning of the movie when they were doing the stakeout at the lawyer's house, nobody got shit for that. I'm like, the dude fell asleep. If you would have been...
Oh, I know.
They
fucked up so bad.
Like, if you would have been up, he would have seen fucking Masters go in and fucking shoot the lawyer. And
it was the rookie partner.
Well, I don't even know. I think I have a feeling Masters came in from the back. Like, I think
know. The way that building was set up, there was no way to get
it. It seems like he's always going in through the back.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He is. He's a backseat boy.
Yeah.
Sure.
While filming everything.
Everything, yeah.
And burning shit at the same time.
No, but you're right. These cops were idiots, man. Like, all of them. All of them. They kept making so many, like rookie mistakes.
No protocol.
No protocol. They're causing, like, millions of dollars in damages to the city of L.A.
Oh, and then when he lets his key witness or the guy that's in prison.
Oh yeah, John
away.
Turturro. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, he's like, Carl he's Cody. Like, don't worry. He's like, he's on me, and that's my word. Yeah. He won't get away immediately. And right immediately, after
he gets kicked in the balls, and then he
claps him in the ears. He goes, gah.
Dude, he had some combos.
Didn't
man.
Even check if that girl that he mentioned was his actual daughter.
Oh yeah.
It turns out she's like. Completely unrelated person.
Well, because all he did was ask, is there a person who...
That's why. Right. I mean, do your due diligence. Like, all right, is there someone that's related to so-and-so, blah, 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 there? It's his daughter. Wouldn't that be on record or something?
You know, it was another shit. When Willem Dafoe went to go, like, talk to the gang leader that he sent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guys were clearly winning the fight. Out of nowhere, Willem Dafoe and the other guy beat
I know. I know. Yeah, he had a weird lackey with him, the tobacco-spitting dude.
Just, oh yeah, the creepy looking dude.
Very creepy looking dude.
I think he was just the dude that worked at the
No, yeah, he was I think he was like his bodyguard essentially.
Yeah.
You know, it was his goon.
It was his main guy. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of this movie was like I think really set the precedence for a lot of different 80s and then like future action films. Like I don't know, it gives me super mad like Starsky and Hutch vibes too.
Interesting.
Like
yeah.
as a buddy cop type
yeah.
thing.
I can see that,
like,
yeah.
Because like I mean that's all it is an 80s recreation of a lot of stuff. A lot of like, you know, cool car chase type scenes in Starsky and Hutch. But I just think like and just like being gung-ho, right? Just being like, I don't have time to play by the book and I can't do any of this shit the right way. Like I have to go out of my way to find and solve this case by myself. Like it seems like, I don't know, like even understanding like the idea and motivations of glory and wanting it, it's all for nothing if at the end of the day you just end up either A, getting yourself killed, or B, end up killing the person who you're supposed to be putting behind bars. There is no point in being focused on catching the bad guy at any expense to the point where all of a sudden you're going to die or you're going to end up killing him. Like, look, like I know we all have this thing. It's like, I'm going to murder the enemy of my enemy or whatever. But at the end of the day, you're supposed to be a cop. Your goal and your motivation should be put him away. Right.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it just, this film just shows this cycle of revenge and violence that just keeps going on and on. And
well, you know what? I think, it might be a little bit more realistic to what would happen in real life. Mm. I feel like someone might get corrupted and be willing to do something at no matter the cost. Even
training
if it
costs, day.
Yeah. If it costs them their own life, or if they don't even ultimately get what they want just because they're so fueled by rage and like anger that they're not thinking things logically.
You know, one thing I've been thinking and kind of going in my head, like I know I kind of even made fun at the very beginning of the film, how Chance uses his like little power stance to like point his gun. And it's just like, what kind of fucking, what?
His tight ass fucking jeans.
He had his heels.
He's like, what's the sexiest way
his
I can
fucking his leather jacket.
Right
yeah,
right?
He's just pointing the gun.
Yeah. I don't know if they meant for him to have that kind of sex appeal, but.
But I think, I think. To
he,
go,
he was like a
I think
sex
it was,
machine,
it was
man.
The jeans for you, Alexis. But, you're like, are those
5'11s? I don't know, is it just me?
Those 5'11s are fitting tight.
Oh my God.
But when you look at things like that, I think that genuinely that's just like a sign of the difference of the times, right? Like nowadays, if you're playing someone who's doing sports, you want to show that your actor knows the moves, knows the terminology, is like an expert at it. If you're doing someone who's a martial artist or like John Wick, we clearly see that people hate when people hold guns the wrong way or don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like they just get like dissected to hell by people who are either quote unquote experts or really experts.
You bring up a pretty good point there, because I think nowadays when we have action films that are like this, the main protagonists, they look perfect. They do everything
they have
perfectly.
To.
They're super trained and all that, but then when you see a movie like this, like these guys, they
weren't told to do that. They weren't
no,
asked
but,
to do
but,
that.
But they look like regular guys, and it's, to me, it's more believable seeing these dudes.
Well,
do
no,
something
yeah, the amount
like
of times
that.
Cops nowadays do some fucking crazy shit, I believe it.
Yeah,
because you
know, like, I see that they're acting upon emotion versus training.
Yeah,
you know?
I think this movie also didn't really want to focus on like one extreme of like the training, because they didn't have the budget. They just wanted to like.
Yeah,
I think this movie's like ultimate purpose is just to be a good movie you can watch in an hour and a half. And
well, it's just like, I mean, like I said, we're getting into training in that aspect, but like think about like cartoons nowadays. Like I forget who I was talking to, but like Rick and Morty, for example, or like other like cartoons hiring legitimate biologists, scientists, chemists to explain shit just because they're like, we know nowadays people fucking like it when you
but
get
see,
it right.
But nowadays the that's a lot easier to figure out, because I'm like, what's how easy is it to Google like a fact from Rick and Morty?
Correct. It's not only easy for like the mass public to know that, so they're like, wow, you didn't do your homework. But I think it's just a sign of what I'm saying is like in the 80s, the general public did not care. They probably cared the amount, like, and you could see by the effort that they put into the car scene. because they were like, we know what a car movie is supposed to look like, a car chase is supposed to look like.
What he did was he gave us an experience.
Yeah, but I agree with what Nick is saying, but I also do believe that, like, think about it like this. In the 80s, I feel like when they're making a movie like this, they want the general mass appeal, and they also, it's a blockbuster. It's not like anyone has...
No, this wasn't a blockbuster.
Well, I mean, $6 million budget. It doesn't matter. They don't have home streaming. Like, a general audience will go and see this. Yeah. Now it's like everything is in subcategories for specific audiences because, I mean, media as a whole, we have so many different platforms for people now that you can kind of create anything for those little cultures that are like, oh, they do care about technicalities. They care about holding guns. They care about whatever the science behind those things. So back then, it didn't fucking matter. It's like, as long as it appeals to everyone.
Yeah, as long as
it looks cool.
It looks good, which is exactly what this movie did. It doesn't even matter how well written it was, like to your point, Isaac, and everything. It's just, it's about how good you can make it look and how sick some of the scenes can
be. I think this movie was designed more for like a VCR rental. Like you're gonna go home. You might watch at the movie theaters, and then like the guy at the Blockbuster is gonna recommend this movie to you because it's like, hey man, you've probably seen all the major stuff already at the theaters. Yeah. There's a little like kind of indie movie that's kind of cool with Willem Dafoe
This definitely isn't high art, but it was shot
it was shot amazingly.
You really keep going back to it. You love that.
Yeah. Dude, like if I could take a picture of that like in real life,
there are a lot of frames in this movie that you could just like, you know,
you could definitely just hang.
You could put it in a frame. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I can see that.
Speaking of hanging, you know, there's one thing that this movie does that others don't. I know. And they really focus on the male form.
Which, is really probably super refreshing for people in the 80s.
No, I don't think it was, though, because in the 80s, it was all about muscle and shit. So I think they tried to recreate that, but with just normal people.
But I think that's what's probably refreshing. Normal. I mean, it's the same thing as, like, if you talk about, like, movies nowadays or, you know, like, main actresses or main actors where it's like everybody has to have a refined body, too.
Yeah.
And you just see someone with a dad bod doing more shirtless scenes rather than like a Zac Efron opposite him or something. Like actually like Seth Rogen and I think Neighbors, I recently watched that movie again with my girlfriend, and like Seth Rogen ends up fucking like shirtless in a bunch of random scenes just as much, if not equally opposite Zac Efron. And I'm just like, oh, you know what? Like they're giving their fan service to whoever Zac Efron fans are. And then they're making the rest of us just laugh at Seth Rogen's fat fucking body, you know? Which
hey, you put some respect on that.
Hey,
man.
I love that man, you know. But I think at the end of the day, is like that's what we didn't get any of in the 80s. You had to look like Pamela Anderson if you were a woman, and you had to look like fucking
Arnold and Stallone.
And
that's kind of like the middle part.
Yeah.
It's like but, again, this movie I feel it was designed to go onto to go to tape because you're not gonna compete with Arnold and fucking Stallone in the 80s, man. That ain't gonna happen. No. And they were popping up movies every year. This is like your filler movie in between. That's gonna fill in the time to people to go watch a movie or even watch at home.
But regardless, it was a good watch. Yeah. I think that I enjoyed it, especially my first time viewing it. Yeah.
Especially
like,
seeing that dong, right?
Yeah. They didn't show William Dafoe's dong.
I'm trying to talk about the dongs, guys. Dude, you guys,
you know,
keep
I wasn't expecting that cock shot, like full frontal. No. Like,
yeah,
he
played with the silhouette in a way which was more tasteful for sure.
That's what's crazy is that they did a scene where you literally see his penis. And you see his balls, and then this girl's naked.
It was a prosthetic, bro. It was a prosthetic.
Dude, he's straight up going on top of her.
but
did they actually show his dong?
It's a $6 million movie. You think they had money for a $10,000 prosthetic, dude?
Just put a little sock with something on it. I don't know.
No, but like props to the actor William Peterson who. He was like, he's on CSI a lot.
He was confident. Had this
bro, that's why he was stuck on CSI after.
They're like, we can't put you in anything major.
And Willem Dafoe, too, he would just get naked.
He likes showing his ass.
Willem Dafoe likes being naked. Yeah. I don't think he just
everybody
like.
Was naked. In like, the male locker room, there was like eight dudes that were naked.
And that's what I appreciate is that the director wasn't like, I only want to see naked women. It's like, no, I want to see everybody naked.
He's like, I want to see everybody.
Yeah, hey, you know what? You love what you love and you like what you like.
Yeah, yeah. And side note, but did you guys notice that Robert Downey Jr.'s dad was in this movie?
Yeah, senior.
Yeah, Robert Downey Sr.
Wait, what character did he play?
He was the boss, not the DA we got boss, but the
prosecutor.
No. Like he was one of the cop, like the captain or something.
Yeah, the one that was citing the code to him.
Yeah,
that he
said code 3.15.
It was 3. Mm. It was 3025.
3025.
I thought it was 305.2, but I don't know. I actually was serious.
George is like,
was
there was a number
2.5. No, that's I remember what this
it was 90 real 92.3.
Get the fuck out of town.
94.7 the wave.
I don't know why, but the prosecutor was weird. The guy that's he's like,
dude, when he came in walking, that shit was hilarious.
When they were arguing, and he's like, hey, come back here. And he's like, all right, I'll sign it. And I was like, what the fuck?
You watched it like a disgruntled little kid.
I thought that scene was fucking hilarious. I think
I thought it was hilarious. I couldn't take it seriously.
Alexis was also talking about like kicking. I think this movie does a great shot and really shows its budget by not reshooting a goddamn thing. It's like, yeah. I'm going to kick the door this one, okay?
No.
Fucking bounces right off of it.
What he did was he tried to open the door, but he put the handle up so it didn't fucking open. And then I think he tried to kick it and open it right. So he
talking about even like the first scene where he just randomly kicks the door, and then when they're trying to open the hangar door, they're like, oh my god, there it is, move. Fuck,
and
just like,
hey man, they only had the fucking site for an hour, they gotta do
exactly
that.
They're like,
film was expensive,
you gotta wonder how many fucking shots they scrapped if that's what they put in.
That freeway probably took like $3 million
dude,
of the budget.
That was pretty lengthy too.
How long was the film?
It was like a little under 2 hours.
Was it? I feel like it was two. But I feel like they probably cut out so many things.
Yeah, hour 56.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 116 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's not bad. It didn't feel that lengthy, but like, I do feel like there's certain things that they probably like, scrap it. We don't need it. But now it like, the plot's like, I feel like there's something missing.
It's like, we need something ginormous. So I'm reading a fact here that says it took 6 weeks over the course of 3 weekends to film, causing the film to go from $1 million over budget.
That was just the car
scene.
And
the freeway was closed for 4 hours at a time.
Oh, yeah. God.
Jesus.
But that's
Christ.
I mean, you know what? I didn't even know that he did The French Connection.
I haven't seen The French Connection.
Yeah, I mean, and that one's super heavy on car scenes and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
You've seen it?
I've seen clips of it a lot because my brother was really into cars and stuff like that. I was way too young to watch this movie.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was young watching these scenes and stuff with him. And like recaps of it, but yeah, it's really, really good. Like you could tell even with what we talked about too with Sorcerer, like you can tell he puts a lot of effort into showing like really cool car scenes that bring a lot of anxiety and bring a lot of like emotion without even having to say a word or add really background music. So that's really cool.
Were there any car scenes in The Exorcist?
No.
I mean,
I can't believe you filmed that.
Fucked up.
Completely different type of
film.
Besides the car scene, let's talk about, because we all like the car scene, and
everybody does.
It's arguably the best scene in the movie besides the cock shot. What is your favorite scene, Alexis?
Favorite scene aside from that?
Yeah. It's hard, man. It's like the best.
Mine's so easy. I'll skip over you. The DA scene. That was the part of that. I wanted to talk about it with my thing, but yeah, just the idea, like the stupid ridiculousness of him like having a fucking childish outbreak, and then him be like, get back here.
He's like, you didn't lose a partner.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah. If this is one of your cronies, you'd sign it.
And the guy's internal thoughts like, yeah, I guess he's right.
God damn it.
Maybe I should bring him back. Get over here.
I could tell this guy's
back here.
Get over here.
He gave him a big old smooch when he came in. He was like, all right, here you go.
Don't disappoint me, kid.
All right, don't lose him. He's like, I won't. I'll give you my word.
He loses him like 10 minutes later.
Fuck.
Now, my favorite scene would probably be where he gets his fucking head blown off. That came out the first time I saw it, it came out of nowhere. I was so shocked because
I honestly was thinking that the other guy was gonna die.
He should have.
I wanted him to die.
He was kind of boring.
I honestly was like, that
but
guy fucking sucks. He's vanilla.
It's rare
for sure
to see the main protagonist just get killed off like that.
Yeah,
like so, like just like boom, you're dead.
Not and you know so what? Long. Nowadays, it's kind of like what we crave. Like I feel like myself in media, at least, and anything that I absorb is like I've talked about like TV shows I like. Like I loved Game of Thrones up until the end.
Loved past
the,
tense.
The big reason, well, I mean, because I'm no longer watching it. But the big thing that I enjoyed about shows like Game of Thrones is mainly the idea that you don't know what's gonna come. You know, there's no like trope that everything's falling into, that it's very obvious that it's like, oh, this is exactly what's gonna happen, and the main character is gonna win somehow again or whatever. No, nobody's safe. And like, so I can't imagine how shocking this must have been back in the 80s to be like, wait, what? Luke Skywalker doesn't win? Huh? Oh my God.
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm kind of glad they killed him off because he was a douchebag. And he was just like,
he just kept getting worse and
he
worse.
He was so like, I didn't want him to win
whatsoever. Isn't it funny
I was
how
not
it's
rooting
like,
for him.
Like, but the funny part is you say that, but like, most of us during the middle of the movie were like, God, I fucking hate his partner. And it's like, why? Because he follows the law. Yeah. And
he's the only good cop.
Properly trained? Like, what?
He's like, yeah. I'm third generation cop.
Yeah.
No, that whole scene too, that he goes to the lawyer that's working with RM or whatever, and then he's like, look, man, this is what you got to do. You're going to do some time. You're going to turn your partner in.
7 years, you only do a year and a half. But I can't be directly
involved. Good behavior,
involved.
Yeah.
I can't be directly
involved. How much involved. To get directly involved? 50,000. He doesn't hesitate whatsoever immediately.
He's like, I don't know if justice is enough.
No, but then also, he's like, I'm not going to turn my partner in. I can't do that. It's like, you fucking hate him. What do you mean? Yeah. Like, you literally don't like the
code. It's the code.
No, I know, but it's like, immediately you would think he's going to turn his partner in. Because he's like, fuck that guy. I don't even like him.
George is kind of a piece of shit. You're not following the code over here, man.
Yeah, bro.
Dude,
George would be the fucking snitch.
But what I'm saying, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the guy was so, like, pro rules that that's when he chooses to break the rule to defend his partner when he's like clearly speaking, doesn't give a shit. He's like, I will follow the rules the entire time.
I mean, you know, snitches get stitches. And speaking of that, I did want to talk about John Turturro in this movie more because, I mean, I'll say it, you know, he did great. Like, I haven't seen him in a serious role. Like, you pointed out The Batman. That's how much, like, I feel like I don't associate him with serious roles that I forgot he played Falcone in that movie.
I just remember him as a guy from Transformers.
Literally, he plays silly fucking asshole that. In Transformers.
He's like Sector 7.
He's silly. Yeah. Are you username ladies man 217? I love saying that shit out loud. But no, what's it called? You know, every role that he plays, even, like, my favorite, one of my favorites is Don't Mess With The Zohan.
Oh my god.
I love that movie, dude.
Yeah, I love that one too.
I don't like it.
What the fuck? You don't like Master of Disguise?
I didn't watch these movies when I was a kid. You guys saw them growing up. I did it. My parents didn't let me watch these things, okay? I have resentment towards you guys.
Resent them, bro. I didn't raise you.
No. They were right. After looking at it, watching them, I was like,
dude, fuck it.
Hey, you know what? I'm just saying.
Zohan?
Three of us. How many Muchen Tuchen chains are
Maybe that should be our next one.
Dude. Yeah.
But no, like, this movie, he fucking... Well, first of all, like, I know that's his actual voice now, but, like, his voice seems so young and, like, alive, and it just was refreshing.
Before
that
Hollywood really tried to put in his ass.
Whether he smoked or just aged that, like, deepened his voice. But then on top of that, like, his attitude throughout it was, like real. Like, he felt like one of the most, like, grounded and down-to-earth characters in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Yeah. Like, you argue how Willem Dafoe did a really good job throughout the film, and I agree. But again, he still plays such a, like, non-like attainable character. Like,
nah, I didn't think he played that great.
I think he did a good job, but...
I feel like compared to, like, his other better roles, like, other roles that he's been in where it's like...
Who, Dafoe?
Yeah. I don't
well,
think
yeah, I mean, this
I
is...
Just, I don't think this is a good performance.
Yeah, but this is one of his
DeFoe,
earliest.
Though. Yeah, this is young Dafoe. Like,
he's
30 at this point. Was that one of his first movies?
I think this may have been one of his first five films that he did or something. Yeah.
No, it's pretty good. I like it.
And I think, I mean, you're also comparing somebody who's you know, their peak is astronomically better than
his
this.
Peak of Spider-Man too. Let's Spider-Man 1.
I mean, he did fantastic in Spider-Man.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, he's a
it's
critically acclaimed, you know,
just putting this out there, I saw him in person.
Yes, and Alexis.
You never failed to remind us, Alexis.
It was within his first 10. He was like number 8.
It's a peak of my life. All right.
Yeah, and I think that look, it's within his first 5 years of acting.
You know what? I'm sad that he didn't.
It's his ninth film. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he
did Platoon after this.
He did do Platoon. Yeah.
That was his peak to Platoon.
No,
was
dude,
like,
this Spider-Man dude. Come on, get it together.
I mean, Platoon is one of the best fucking.
What about when he played Jesus? I've never seen Platoon.
You've never seen Platoon?
I've never seen Platoon.
Oh, what?
I have to.
Dude, Platoon is fantastic.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
Alexis, go take a fucking life. You seen some of this weird Japanese shit that I don't know how the fuck he came up with it, but you haven't seen Platoon?
He's not huge on war movies, that's why. Yeah. Yeah. But it's a fantastic one.
But going back to the movie, like I was saying.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
He was in Speed too?
God fucking damn it.
Hey, you know what it sucks that he wasn't that great in? Fucking Death Note. When he did the live action.
Well, he was the best part of Death Note.
No, I know, but I think that he could have done such a better job if the writing in that fucking movie was better.
Yeah, he has some real bombs.
He's playing a fucking
he does everything
a demigod.
Yeah,
perfect role. That's
he was
right
at Once
alley.
Upon a Time in Mexico.
Oh yeah, he was.
Wasn't he?
He was also in Mr. Bean's Holiday.
All right, moving forward. Nobody wants to talk about here. About
all right, whatever, yeah, Nick. You know. So, hey, wait, we got lost. So we were talking about scenes.
What were we
Isaac,
talking about?
What was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene, honestly, was the fucking locker room interaction.
They're getting butt naked?
It was so fucking stupid. Why are these guys entertaining this in a locker room? Why is this fucking gym? the concentration of where they're going to make this business deal, where there's fucking 20 other people in the room hearing this illegal activity is going down.
Well, it's because if he's going to make a partner out of these guys, he needs to see them naked. They need to be as close as
possible. I
think it
was a way to check their wire, making sure that they don't have a wire from the
He was checking their wires.
He wants to see what gauge that shit was.
But
no, that makes sense.
Yeah, George, did you have a favorite scene?
Yeah, no, actually, what I think I really enjoyed was the intricacies of when he's actually printing the money. That scene was like really cool because it's like really cool. You're looking at it and you're like, oh, like this guy actually knows what the fuck he's doing. Like the scene's depicted so well where you're like, this is believable. This is exact. Like he's a master of his craft at doing that. That's probably why he hasn't gotten caught because the money's so good.
He's so damn good.
Yeah, and it was just they're showing every little bit of the process and like I'll let you do the little fun fact.
But. Yeah, like I was telling you guys earlier, the director actually hired like an ex-con. Yeah. That did this for his crimes essentially to help him figure out like how to present it and do it and you know he was so damn good that he actually did end up using that counterfeit money and he never got caught for it. Damn. And so he did like an interview like I don't know like 30 years after this. I was like, yeah, fucking use that money. Hell yeah, I did. It's out there somewhere.
Probably use it to fund this film.
Yeah, I know, right?
He printed out $1 million. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, where did you get the money for all this? It was off the books. That's why. That's why. It
off the books.
How much did you say it was? Like eight million?
Six million.
6 million? Yeah, no, dude. The money was 100% printed by him and funded. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it didn't even go worldwide. It just stayed domestic.
It just stayed domestic.
Yeah.
Oh, straight to VHS.
I think it would have done well. Right. It would have done well out there.
But one thing I wanted to talk about a little bit too is
it did
like,
well on opening too. It literally went where it made money was VCR. Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like Nick was about to talk.
Are you talking, Nick?
How did it do that domestically? And what else?
It just hurts a lot. That's it. But no, I was gonna talk about the portrayal of women in this movie. You know,
it was fucked up, man.
It was. I mean,
yeah, they were just so used.
The ending was so gruesome.
Oh,
like,
yeah, let's get to that.
I think the ending was just like, you know. Besides like the misogynistic aspect, it was just like such a way to kill the vibe of the movie.
Yeah,
because it's like you went from like this whole idea that all of a sudden you create what you kind of didn't want to be, or you become what you didn't want to be all just to survive
within
or just
a week
to thrive,
time
within a week's time especially is like so stupid. And even if you're gonna quote unquote do that, like to make it so that he has to all of a sudden act, talk, look like him,
dude, he straight up dresses exactly like Richard Chance. Like he stole his wardrobe and was like,
and his truck.
Truck.
Wait, I didn't even notice that he took
and
the truck.
And then he stole his bitch at the end.
And he's wearing the sunglasses at all times.
Yeah, no, and then
he,
and then
he
all
couldn't
of the
hang. He took them off as soon as
he
got inside.
He did take them off.
I did notice that as well. But then it's
dude,
so
do you get glasses
weird
like
that,
so
that
fucking
like
dark, dude.
His demeanor and everything changes from being like a dorky like vanilla guy to just.
And he's got the toothpick in his mouth.
All of a sudden, I told you, he even had the walk and everything. Like all of a sudden, he's all suave.
But dude, I have a feeling they just gave him the clothes that that the other guy was wearing. Like it's not even fitted to him. It's just like it's like oversized on him.
But one of the things I wanted to point out that I thought it was kind of crazy was like this idea that, you know, I know I called Willem Dafoe like a Loki type character, but one of the like cool things about his character is he did treat his love interest like really well throughout the whole film.
What?
Like he was respectful to her. He never like forced her to do anything. And even when she probably did something like, you know how she seduced the lawyer and like basically to allow him to get in and then kind of hold him hostage. Like it wasn't like it. I mean, obviously we're speculating here, but it didn't feel like.
It definitely felt like that because remember the lawyer said, "Why did you stay so long with him?" Like after, he insinuated like he kind of treated her like shit.
But
well,
or
I think
is
it
he
was
saying
more
that?
Of a like because he's a criminal and he's clearly like
no.
Not
well, I was gonna say maybe he said because he knows that she's like she likes women.
Oh,
like maybe she just specifically.
Yeah, no, I think that could have been.
But I think like. From the scenes that we gather, and you know, these are all really valid points, but the scenes that you gather, you see the difference in how they treat their ladies, right? Like Chance only uses his informants because he knows he has a leg up over them already because he's holding that whole like golden ticket to getting away.
I'll get you on parole.
Exactly. He's like, you're never going to have to worry about getting put away
by
me.
I mean, he just uses her for info and sex.
Yeah, versus like you see that as much as you can argue that that Rick is it Rick, right? Yeah, Rick Masterson, that he does the same exact thing.
I thought it was Eric.
It is Eric's his name. His they call him Rick though.
Yeah.
But you can argue the same thing for Rick, but it does. It's the same way as like you feel like a positive, portrayal of sexualizing a woman versus a negative one. Like in one, he's like celebrating her body, he's kissing her, he's like touching her sensually, and she's clearly consenting. We literally had a scene where like she's stressing out about the fact that she's going to be involved in this fucking like murder of an FBI agent. And he just decides to grab her and use her. like,
and he's just laughing.
And he's laughing the whole time. He's like, he got away with it.
He has the power, dude.
Yeah. Exactly, because he knows. He's like, it doesn't matter.
And then his dick of a partner does it at the end, too.
I know.
I think
he's
that,
like, I'm going to start using you now. And then she has, and then it was creepy.
She has a flashback.
She has a flashback of, like, him getting railed by the dude and stuff.
And she didn't look like she hated that, too, which is, like, I mean, the trauma of these people.
And then the fucking 80s music was like, yeah!
Hell yeah!
Like, what the
we're
fuck?
Doing it.
Like, this, yeah, is, no, this is not okay.
Like, it was a win for boys. Yeah. Just like, no, what the fuck?
Am I right, guys?
I was, yeah, like, high five.
High five,
bro, dude. I literally was like, felt so uncomfortable with that last. I was like, what? He's just gonna steal his girl, and then like coerce her into like having sex with him just because he's like, yeah. You work for me now.
Yeah,
and he had a big old grin on his face. I was like, what the?
And just scenes before, even like when he finally killed Masterson and stuff like that, it's like, it was so stupid because it's like, you got away clean. You went to the warehouse supposedly. Like, I even pointed out that like, this guy knew that this was his warehouse and he did nothing with that information for so long. He didn't present it to his partner. He didn't present it to the rest, like his commanding officer or anything. He just held on to that information to the very end.
And also, like, he went to it. He knew what was in there. Why would he? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot of negligence.
And the idea, too, that apparently, like, I was
just
shocked.
Nobody knows how to do their
job.
No.
I think it's also portraying, like, he was too much of a goody two shoes. He's like, oh, I can't get in there without a warrant. I can't, you know, do all this.
But,
so I think it's like,
but
you just keep going back like, oh no, he abides by the laws.
Yeah,
and
but
he's,
you still wouldn't
but
tell
it's
your
not
partner?
That he didn't. Yeah, he could have told his partner because back then when he found that information out, he was fresh to his partner. He had no idea his partner was crooked.
But he didn't trust him. Like, I feel like they were still building that
well,
trust.
Then why would you not give it to your captain? Why would you not give it to like
or the super, the direct supervisor?
Look,
yeah.
I agree. I don't think he was a good cop. All
and then,
George, why do you always gotta disagree with everything we say?
I
want
to agree with you guys, but I'm trying to look at it.
But then the other part,
I'm gonna find a flaw. I'm gonna look for it.
But the other part to that though isn't it's also the same thing with Rick. Like he found out ahead of time from the lawyer that was probably leaking information, telling him like these guys are cops because he said he's like he offered you like to get to turn on him. Why didn't you turn on him? So if he knew right away, watch like rethinking that scene where they're fucking going back into the gym. And he's like, don't fucking touch me. You know, like I had an agreement with your partner and him and fucking Jack are just fighting for a bit. Mm-hmm. Until he's like, let him up. It's like clearly he didn't want to get frisked because he had a gun or something concealed. Like he had something on his person.
But he already knew though.
That's my point. Yeah. It's like if you already, know, why would you like it? It almost felt like he wanted to die or something.
Maybe
he wanted to live and
well,
die.
I don't know,
in L.A.?
We just have a realization.
Yeah.
This, now
no,
you,
it's not
now
that
you
deep.
Do the
it's
CSI
not that
Miami
deep.
Song. Though.
Yeah. All right. So what you're saying is like he just knew that it was over. Like his gig was up.
No,
like,
I think he just didn't fucking care. Like, and that's what felt like really stupid to me. Like this movie was like I was really enjoying it. Besides the cheesy parts, up until like that last scene.
The last 5 minutes sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so he definitely knew, right?
Like if they would have cut it off at him, like you were saying, I wanted Willem Dafoe to win. If they would have cut it off at Willem Dafoe winning, getting away, would have been a way.
See, but see, that's what makes me think that you're right. He probably did want to die. Because think about it, he would have stopped the deal. One, and then two, you think he would have gone back to the warehouse and just stayed there to wait for the rookie to come?
But
and
get him? Do you guys think that maybe he was suicidal?
I don't think he knew though, because if you remember what the captain was saying, is like. Many people have tried getting him and asking for the money, and they never went through with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
they had the limit.
They had the limit of the $10,000, and when these guys came in with 30, I'm like, these guys are pretty legit. I'm gonna move with.
So I mean, forward. I guess another thought that I'm having is potentially he could have somehow contacted the lawyer and talked to him, and be like, oh yeah, these guys were cops, and found out after he was escaping. But that just seems like
yeah, that much time.
Like that's my point. That's my point. Is like yeah, his first thought is let me call my lawyer. And talk to him about these guys that are trying to like fuck that are cops that are trying to fuck me over right now. Like, I don't know. I just think that it doesn't make sense for me to for him to have not known ahead of time and just let it happen anyway.
Again, like we're saying, the writing wasn't there.
Yeah.
That's why it's easier to think that he was suicidal because he kept putting himself in situations where he could have died. Like, he could have died like twice, once with the.
But I think he gets off on that.
Yeah. And that's another thing where you see.
I mean,
see,
same with Chance.
Yeah, the bungee jumping.
The bungee jumping.
And as he's, for some reason, during the car chase, he thinks back to the bungee jumping, like that adrenaline.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like they're all chasing something like unattainable, like just to be able to like fucking feel something.
Yeah, no, maybe like Willem Dafoe's character, he just wanted to get that close to like almost being caught, but getting away with it.
Right.
Yeah. But
then he met his match.
Yeah.
Made him finally. Yeah, but I do feel that Willem Dafoe, if he was gonna, I mean, he did die, but he should have died in a more like dramatic way. Like, it would have been cooler if he got killed by chance, or like not by his lame ass partner, you know?
Yeah, no, I also thought the partner was gonna die in that scene, and Willem Dafoe was just gonna be like, all right, I'm burning him to the ground.
How did he like light up so fast?
Well, because he
there was like lighter fluid on the ground.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he was gonna burn the dude, and then it fell when he got shot.
The flame fell.
I missed
that, yeah.
No,
that was good.
All right, now we're getting to our Letterboxd reviews.
Didn't, didn't, didn't.
All right, this one's by JProv1024. Again, these are our Letterboxd friends, so thank you guys for following us back. 5-star. Holy hell, what an adrenaline shot of a film. Loved the cinematography, loved all the insane performances. Sometimes when you give a man a badge and a gun, they're willing to do anything with that power, even if it means infecting those who want to do good. The action scenes were so phenomenal. Also, can we bring back blood squibs? 5 stars.
Oh yeah, the blood squibs. That's a good point. Yeah. I didn't even realize what it was, but that's what made it so different with the gunshots and all those things.
It was just so bloody.
Good catch.
So explosive.
Yeah, good review. Honestly, I mean, I think they didn't focus enough on the bad, but they really got the good perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what's good about it. I think there's a little bit of things.
I think this is like a movie. If you don't really think about it, and you just sit there and like, yeah,
great,
great.
Yeah, it's fucking sick. Yeah. All right, next one. Suzanne, 3.5 star. She says, I love the style of this movie. The cinematography and score were both top-notch. It really was a feast for the eyes in just about every frame. The only thing really holding this back for me is the lead performance from William Peterson. I wish it was more intoxicating, like, for example, James Caan in Thief. 3.5 stars. I thought he was good. I didn't find a problem in his performance, personally.
I think he was just cheesy. We talked about it, though. It's like,
but is that his fault?
It's not only,
I think it was inherently bad writing, not the,
well, not
his
only
performance.
Like, again, I don't want to just blame the fucking writers, not that they're alive to even give a shit, but potentially,
you don't know that.
Potentially,
they live off of hate, probably.
But listen, not bad.
What I'm not saying is not that the writing is bad, but I'm also saying, like, it's period pieces, the same way we talk about with the, like, you know, sexism and racism and other things in period pieces, like. These are also things that are written in, you know, sometimes they're a little bit more corny, a little bit more cheesy, but that's like what's in at the moment. So what can we do?
I don't know.
I think he did great with what he had to work with.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
Yeah,
especially for $6 million. Shit.
Yeah, he really fit in those jeans.
He 100% fit that angry.
He has a
demented,
nice penis.
He's got cheeks. He's got a penis. Well, I mean, what else can you ask for?
Man had vengeance on his mind. And that's it. That's nothing it. Else.
No, he had a lot of pussy on his mind. And how to extort it.
And how to extort it.
That's
literally
all he had on his mind. All
right. This one's by Aaron D. 4.5 stars. He does a quote, or they do a quote, where it says, why are you chasing me? Why are you running? Because you're chasing me, man. A cinematic masterpiece, an absolute blast. It's got that very specific 1980s aesthetic I just love. Defoe's brilliant in the role. Hooked from the beginning. Love that car chase. I once analyzed it at university. Wow, they did a paper on it. Peak noir in LA, and I wouldn't have it any other way. 4.5 stars.
There's nothing much else to say on that.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
fantastic.
That is.
You hit all the points.
Yeah.
Good review.
And then this is our last review by Alex T. They gave it a 3-star. I thought this was about living and dying in LA, but it's more about a shitty dude who is a cop and is bad at his job.
Yeah.
It really was.
But the guy that was supposedly good as a cop,
he ended up being
bad
too.
Yeah. I'm like, does everyone just get corrupted with like this power?
Being around this guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, not just this guy. Like when you get a little hints of power, like immediately
it changes
you. Become bad.
Yeah. Dude. And then
except
they
for
say
Spider-Man.
They say all the stars are for the Wang Chung soundtrack and another star for the fonts. So 3 stars. Hey.
For
solid.
The fonts?
Yeah, in the title sequences they have that neon green font with all the names.
I don't
Grand
know.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if Grand Theft Auto, like the people that did that game kind of watched this movie and I got a little bit of the vibe from it.
I can see it.
I can see that inspiration,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Cuz this movie's from 85 and I could see its influence on other things.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Indirectly or directly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those are our Letterboxd friends and it seems like they liked it.
All
so
right, on to the review.
Yeah, let's hear you, Isaac. I feel like you might have an opinion.
I give this a 6 out of 10.
Hey, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
That's
6
not bad.
Out of 10?
6 out of 10.
That's kind of lower than I thought you would.
The last
the last
5 minutes really killed it for me, man.
If it wasn't for the last
did.
5,
it would have been 7. It would have been a 7.
Nah, not that much, man.
Yeah. No, that's
what about you, George?
I give it a 7. I thought it was really good. I liked it a lot. First viewing, I enjoyed a lot of the action sequences, cinematography.
And honestly, like if you're a dude above 40 and you want to watch a chill movie that like This is a movie for you.
This is. I mean, I'm 27. And I enjoyed it. So like, I think it has a place for every age group.
You're a misogynist.
You fucking pig, Jordan.
No, I think those are the few things that did take me out of it. Like the ending sequence, I'm like, oh, so now he's using her as his own pawn. And
like, I feel bad for this woman.
This poor woman was like, I'm leaving the city. He's like, not if I can help it. Just my god, Jesus Christ. No, I mean, that kind of took me out of it. The misogyny, all those little things were like, it kind of brought down some points. But everything else, I quite enjoyed. The action sequences, I mean, just the anger that this man had and fuel and rage. And then just like the I mean, just the shooting, all those different things were fantastic. So seven for sure.
I think I'm there with you guys. I mean, I'll give it a little higher, 7.5. But the first time I saw it, I think I would have rated it higher. But after really... actually watching it and being like thinking, you know, these guys are like not that good, and like that ending really does kind of like sour the whole movie, unfortunately.
it's a big bummer.
I wish they would have like changed that, but 7.5 for me, because like you said, I mean, everything else is kind of like perfect.
For me I think this is like a solid 7, because I mean, you know, I was even thinking about going as low as a 6, but that card scene really is
it really brings it up.
I mean, you know, like, we again, period pieces, right? And other themes like Training Day, we talked about. And Training Day is a phenomenal fucking movie. And it's a perfect example of a cop who's like, these people aren't supposed to be fucking good people. And I get that. Like, I don't think any of us are so stupid that we think like, oh, cops have always need to be portrayed as good people, and that's why we don't like this film. It's like, no. My problem is they're just stupid. And they made stupid choices consistently throughout the film. I mean, you know what?
I was rooting for Willem Dafoe the entire time.
but he
was a piece of shit.
But even Willem Dafoe made fucking idiotic choices, like leaving the fucking you know, sometimes a writer will say like the reason why he left the washer was because it was his little like signature, some bullshit.
It's like a serial killer.
Exactly. But none of that was ever talked about, so I can't even give that the benefit of the doubt and say that's why he did it. So it's just an idiot.
It's weird that you open up the warehouse and it's like the only thing that's there.
Leaving the
like,
body when you literally have an entire desert next to you that you could just bury it.
No, 100%. Like, it's stupidity. Like, all right, it's your signature. Leave a fucking
That's why I think
casino chip there.
I think he wanted to get caught and he wanted to die.
I mean, that's literally the
The only way it kind of justifies it.
That's what happens
or
when
he just love riding the edge of what he could get.
He's an edge lord.
He's an edge lord for sure. But he's like, that's what happens when you live in LA for long enough.
You just want to die.
The city consumes you. So I don't blame him.
Yeah. No, but I guess if we round all of our scores, we give this movie a 7, which is pretty solid.
Yeah, it's a good score.
Yeah, I honestly really recommend this film despite that ending. I think it's just like that car chase scene alone is like everyone should see, everyone should experience it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and like really good action sequences throughout too.
Yeah, I do think that of his filmography that we've seen, I think Sorcerer is his best one so far. I haven't seen The French Connection though, so that's something I should watch.
I haven't seen Sorcerer or French Connection, so I need to watch.
Have you seen The Exorcist?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that one was good, but that one horrified me as a child. I'm like, no, still traumatized.
Didn't really horrify me.
Didn't really scare me. But all right, let's close out this episode. I mean, you know, 4 Guys, 1 Film, we're pretty much everywhere on Instagram, Letterboxd. I'm still on Twitter, but I don't really use that. And we're also on YouTube. But personally, Letterboxd, I think, is the best way to, interact with us. Yeah. And, you know, I always try to, if you follow us, there's always a chance that we will highlight your review in our episodes. And it's always fun to
be able to do that. Trying to post a little more consistently on smaller platforms like TikTok, Instagram, all that. I'm the moderator, so hit me up, talk to me. I want to hear what you guys got to say.
Any advice is always appreciated, constructive or not.
And eventually we're trying to produce video for you guys. So if you guys have like a suggestion of what you guys want to see in the garage, like just let us know. And we'll try to make it happen as much as we can.
And shout out to our audio mixer Andre, who's been making the sound real real good.
All right, I think that's about it, but if you've made it this far, hit us up. Tell us what you want to hear. What movies should we review, if any?
You listen to us, we'll listen to you, and that's 4 Guys,
1 Film.